This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, could it be? Hip hop is 25 years old. But first, a fierce battle in Iraq today between Americans and insurgents. At least 24 of those insurgents and one U.S. soldier died. Continuing violence has hampered the $20 billion reconstruction effort in Iraq, the largest since the Marshall Plan helped Europe rebuild after World War II. Day to Day's Eric Weiner has this progress report on rebuilding Iraq.
First, the bright spots. Iraq has a new currency and a stock market. Dozens of schools have been rebuilt. The students have new textbooks. The U.S. is also building water treatment plants, clinics, police stations, railroad stations, roads, and sewage systems. More than 1,000 projects in all. Charlie Hess is director of the Pentagon's Project and Contracting Office in Iraq.
Work is going on. More work is going on every day. The number of projects are increasing every day. And so therefore, I think that's the good news.
Gauging the success of these projects raises a very basic question. What exactly do we mean by rebuilding Iraq? Do we mean rebuilding Iraq to the condition it was in before the U.S. invasion, or before the United Nations sanctions of the 1990s, or before Saddam Hussein dragged his nation into a devastating war with Iran in the 1980s? Bathsheba Crocker, a fellow with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says that's a difficult question to answer.
Projects that are underway don't seem to be tied to any particular benchmark, at least in terms of looking backward in Iraq's history. And indeed, I think some of the issues that we've run into stem from the fact that in some ways we may be trying to bring more to Iraq than it's ever had in the past.
For instance, she says, the U.S. is trying to build a state-of-the-art electric grid, something Iraq has never had. Crocker describes the reconstruction effort as spotty, with most of the progress taking place in the Kurdish regions of the north and, to a lesser extent, in the Shiite areas in the south. Much less progress has been made in the so-called Sunni Triangle. Insurgents have time and again attacked anyone associated with the reconstruction effort, Iraqis and foreigners alike. So many truck drivers have been kidnapped and killed that some reportedly paint signs on the outside of their trucks that read, "I swear to Allah that the fuel, or food, or whatever they're carrying, is for the Iraqi people, not the occupiers." Mark Bartolini, regional director for the International Rescue Committee, an aid agency, says the attacks create a climate of fear, even in regions that are relatively safe.
You just never know when, as an international in particular, you might have problems being out and about. So it does impact every aspect of our work, and we had to cut down on the number of staff that we have working in Iraq, and we have decided to pull out of the country at the end of the year.
For aid agencies and contractors, security accounts for about 30% of their total cost, which eats into the $20 billion earmarked for reconstruction. Iraqis may be glad to see Saddam Hussein gone, but life in a few quotidian ways is worse today than it was under Saddam. Sanitation has deteriorated, raising the specter of a health crisis. Iraqi drivers must wait in line for as long as 3 days for gasoline, even though their country is awash with oil. And while Iraq is producing more electricity today than under Saddam Hussein, demand is also greater. Rolling blackouts plunge Baghdad into darkness on a regular basis.
It gets down to a very basic question. Why can't the U.S. get the lights turned back on?
Answering that question, says Bathsheba Crocker, is not easy. U.S. and Iraqi officials point to reasons, such as the fact that insurgents have attacked power lines 600 times, but, says Crocker,
those justifications just don't resonate when you're talking about people who are trying to live day to day with very intermittent electricity, power off more than it is on. Water is connected to power in Iraq, so when there's no power, there's also no water.
U.S. officials acknowledge these problems, but too often they say the good news in Iraq is overshadowed by the violence. Pentagon official Charlie Hess says he's impressed with the many Iraqis who continue to work on reconstruction projects despite the risk. He tells of one recent meeting he had with local leaders in the northern city of Kirkuk.
And these were men and women from various ethnic groups who clearly were willing to sit around the table at peril to themselves and their families to come together to talk about what projects were important, how they could improve the projects. I was very encouraged by their sense of ownership. I haven't seen that everywhere, I'll be candid, but having seen it there gives me great hope that we are in the right track.
The challenge, of course, is to improve everyday life for all Iraqis, not just for those fortunate enough to live in regions untouched by violence. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner.